I'm excited. Sunday's always an exciting time for me, but today is a special Sunday for me and a more exciting time for me because tonight we start, anybody know? Vacation Bible School. They had a lot of people decorating, did some awesome jobs, and I'm excited. VBS for me is always a fun time, an exciting time, and I've been getting you guys ready for Vacation Bible School. Whether you know it or not, we've been looking at a gentleman named Daniel, and Vacation Bible School is going to talk about Daniel. So we're going to have a great time. So if you can't tell me, well, I don't know what VBS is, I can't help. I'm going to tell you, you can help. If you came one Sunday in the last 4 weeks, you know something about our Bible study lessons for Vacation Bible School. And so we're going to have some fun as we look at Daniel and see what Daniel, matter of fact, the kids are going out. There's going to be, I think there's a guy named Paul, one of these planters of churches in the old, in the New Testament. A guy named Paul is going to be here tonight is what I understand and lead the Bible study lesson. So we're going to have a great time there. But this morning, I kind of want to think, is anybody here having some struggles in their life? Does anybody here have some difficulties, some trials? You know, we go through these things and we have these struggles and it's life. And we've been looking at Daniel and we've just, you know, here's Daniel. We've talked about five of those. We're going to look at the fifth one this morning. You know, Daniel had all sorts of issues, you know, even as a teenager. You know, even teenagers have issues. Most of us think teenagers are an issue, right? You know, but even teenagers, you know, we have issues and we have battles. And how do we deal with those? And how do we overcome? We've been looking at Daniel trying to see how he dealt with some of those issues in his life, how he dealt with some of those difficulties in his life. I kind of feel like the saying I read one time for me. Maybe you can identify with it. You're in one of three places all the time. You're either going into trouble, in the middle of trouble, or getting out of trouble. Anybody feel like that? Anybody, you know, it just seems to come around. I have the thing as a pastor. I'm going to be in trouble if I do nothing. I'm going to be in trouble if I do something. I'm going to be in trouble no matter what. Anybody feel like that? No matter what you do, maybe at work, maybe with your kids, maybe at school, no matter what you do, it's just like, is it ever going to end? And you just go through all these struggles and all these battles and you wrestle with life. And then you cross this invisible line. I shared at 17, I crossed that line. You know, at 17, I prayed a little prayer where, you know, it went along the lines, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. I prayed a prayer similar to that, and I crossed that line. And then you become a Christian. It's like, all those troubles are going to go away, right? You know, I'm a Christian now, and I'm following God, and I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do what God called me to do, and now there's never going to be another problem in my life. You guys are laughing because you know it doesn't work that way. You know, life has its trouble. And I'm sure many of you, you know, there's financial frustrations. Anybody? You know, there's relational wrecks in our life. You know, there's job stress in our lives. You know, there's all sorts of things going on. You know, there's health crises in our lives. You know, how do we deal with this? And even as Christians, we face these. I like what Peter had to say. I think Peter gives us some insight about those things that we experience. Those struggles, those hurts, those trials. If you get a little outline, let me encourage you to get it out. You can open it up. We're going to look at 1 Peter 1:7 as we set the stage for Daniel. Because I think Daniel could identify with this. These trials will show that your faith is, and why don't you circle that word, genuine. These trials, these things, these financial frustrations, these health crises, these job stress, these relational wrecks will help your faith, will show your faith to be genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. It says these trials, these struggles, these battles, these stresses, these frustrations, these hurts prove your faith. It's one thing to say, I have faith and I trust God when things are going well. And it's another thing to say, I have faith and trust God when things aren't as well. Anybody? We become Christians, and maybe you've prayed something like this. There was a song, I think it's Chris Christopherson. Why me? Why me? How do we deal with these? How do we face these? And what do we do? And I think we can learn some things from Daniel and his friends. If you might remember, we began this study in Daniel a few weeks ago, and we began talking about a king named Nebuchadnezzar, an evil king, a very destructive king. He went in and crossed over the Euphrates and came down into Jerusalem and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. Stole all the religious items out of the temple. Kidnapped all the teenage boys that had any value. And took them all back to Babylon. And Daniel's one of those boys, if you remember the story. But he wasn't the only one. Daniel had some friends. He had three friends. Anybody know their names? If you've been here, some of you might recognize these names. Anybody got a guy named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Now, just so you know, if you go back to the 1700 census, I've messed with my genealogy, guess what you will find? You will find in the 1700 censuses kids named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's like, I can't believe that in the 1700 they were still naming their kids names like that. You know? And so we have these three friends of Daniel. And just like Daniel had to stand those trials and those tests, they're going to experience one. This King Nebuchadnezzar thought so much of himself that he made a statue that was 90 feet tall. I don't know how tall this building. I think it's about 30 some odd feet tall. Can you imagine a statue three times as high as this made for this king? Made out of gold. Here's this monster statue. And he made a decree, and he had this image of himself that you must worship me by worshiping this statue. Here it is, Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Then a herald shouted out, people of all races and nations and languages. Now he's talking about everybody. Remember, Babylon was conquering the world, and he had brought all these Jewish boys back. So this is going to include the Jewish boys. This includes everybody. It's not just for the Babylonian people. It's for everybody. People of all races, nations, and language. Listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zith, the zether, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. I underlined that whole last part, and I circled that word immediately. It's like, I'm not wasting any time. Immediately, I'm going to throw them into this fiery furnace. Immediately, they're going to face these trials and these tribulations. They're going to have struggles. Nobody's exempt. Everybody has to face it. And I had this little statement here. Did I skip the statement already? This thing that right here, a faith that's tested is a faith that can be trusted. Did I skip over that? I think so. So there it is, see? Somebody's going to have to keep me honest here. Because our faith, if we want my faith, if it's going to be true. I don't know about you, but we got a bridge here. Now, how many want to walk across that bridge? Who wants to be the first one? Yeah. We don't trust it, do we? But if I had faith in this bridge, we'd want somebody to test it first. Yeah. You get on it first, and then I'll go. Anybody ever do that one? You do it first, and then I'll do it. Anybody? Now, most of it's for bad things, right? Come on, as kids. Yeah. Most of it's bad time for kids. Yeah. How do we deal with these things? How do we deal with this? And so Nebuchadnezzar says, listen, if you don't immediately bow down, if you don't bow down to this statue, if you don't worship the statue, you don't worship me, they're being tested. They're being tried. They're at a point where they got to make a decision. What do you do when you're in those bad situations? How do you respond? I got some pictures of bad situations here. Maybe you can identify with some of these pictures here. We'll just skip on up to them just a minute here. How about that job? Wouldn't you like that job? Anybody have a bad day like that? The garbage all scattered. He's got his garbage truck and it's just scattered all over the road. Yeah. How about this next one here? Where's Daniel? I was going to look at little Daniel. And Daniel, be careful. You know, that guy, I think that guy's heading for some trouble. I'm not worried about the guy driving the truck. I think about the guy. I think there's going to be two bad days in that one. You know? What's another one here? I'm glad I wasn't on that airplane. What else do we have? I had some fun pictures here. You want to go fishing? Now, I'm not going to say that's a true picture. I don't know. You know, with the internet now, everything on the internet's true, right? Come on. You can trust that internet. Come on now. You know, I took these off the internet, so I'm not so sure about that one, but that would be a bad day. I enjoy fishing, but that might be not a good day of fishing. What else do we have? Anybody like that one? Now, that would be a bad day for me. All right? That would be a bad day for me. Even though I enjoy Los Angeles, that's not one of the experiences I enjoy about Los Angeles. What else do we have here? Oh, I was going to look. I thought Dan would like this one. This guy's working on his house, got the ladder through the drain pipe. You see that? Wouldn't that be a bad day? I just fixed the drain pipe. Now my ladder's in the middle of it. That would be not a very good day. Got to tear it all apart. What else do we got? Driving down the stairs in a car. You think that'd be a bad day? I think the next one's funny, too. I think, what's the next one? Yeah, there you go. He wanted to wash his car, I guess. All right, bad days, man, bad days. Is that all I had? Did I have one more? I don't remember. Oh, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. All right, that was all I had. But how do you deal with bad days? What do you do when you have days like that? Anybody? You know, you go out and get in the car and you turn the key, and it goes click, 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 click. Click, 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 click. Anybody have days like that? Yeah. Or you go to the store. Most of us don't write checks. Remember those days you go to the store, you open your checkbook, and there's nothing there, and you got all the groceries sitting there? Anybody? Come on now. I don't think I'm the only one that's done things like that. You know? Or maybe you got your ATM card or your debit card, and I forgot the number. Yeah. Bad days. What do we do? How do we deal with these bad days? God, what are you doing to me? And the days just start. Anybody? The day's just starting, and it's, how do we deal with those? And I think Daniel's friends give us some insight, because that's when our faith really shows through. That's when it really, am I a Christian or am I not? When I'm sitting in that traffic, and what words do I choose to use about the moron drivers in front of me? Anybody? Is that my faith? It's like, well, how's that testing my faith? It is testing. You need to know that. When I'm in a traffic, it's a test of my faith. How do we deal with that? What do you do when you have those struggles and those battles? And so here's what I got. I've got three things I just want to share, three qualities real quick to help us out. The first one is this. Faith obeys God instead of following man. These guys had to make a choice. Do we worship this statue? Or do we obey God and worship God and God alone? Is that one of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other God besides me. Isn't that one of the ten? Hope you guys are shaking your head. If not, come on tonight. We'll make sure you learn what the Ten Commandments are. We'll get you with the kids. Yeah. What do you do? How do you deal with those situations? Look at what it says here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Now, I don't know about you, but I want you to get a picture. Paint this picture in your head. Here's a king who's conquered Jerusalem, dragged these boys from Jerusalem, burned their temple, destroyed their city, dragged them all the way around to Babylon, and they're standing before the king, these teenage boys going, I don't care what you say. I don't even have to give you an excuse of why I'm doing this. Get off my back. Think about it. How do we face our trials and our tribulations? We don't even need to defend ourselves. We don't even need to tell you an excuse. We don't need to explain ourselves. We don't need to give you a reason for why we don't want to. We're just not going to worship that statue, period. See, I want you to get a picture in your mind. These boys had decided, maybe on their journey from Jerusalem back up over to Babylon, that no matter what happens in Babylon, we are going to serve God. They didn't have to look at one and say, hey, guys, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What do you think we should do, guys? You know, they didn't have to get on Facebook. Hey, guys, look at what's going on. Here's this picture of this. You know, to get my camera, I'll take a picture of the statue. Should I worship the statue or not? Get a selfie with it. Ah, yeah, I get my selfie with my statue. Yeah. They didn't have to do that. They had made their mind up. They had predetermined, pre-decided, we will obey God, period. And when they stood before that king, looked him in the eyes and said, we ain't going to even tell you why. I'm going to tell you, a little bit of courage there. You know, the furnace over there is going. You know, it's heating up over there. You know, and they're standing there. Now, maybe some of us, maybe even me, maybe we could, you know, I'm not going to worship the statue, but I'll fake it. I'll pretend. We'll just bow our heads and we'll sing Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. You know, and nobody will know. You know, they'll think we're worshiping the statue, and we'll just bow our heads and sing to God, and we'll fake it. Sound good? Can I fake being a Christian? Can I fake following God? You know, I'm sure we never do that, right? Or maybe, I'm sure none of us have done this. You know, I've said us because I'm going to put myself in that basket with this one. It's only once. It's only once. I just got to do it one time. I'll do it. And you know, God's a gracious God. And God's a forgiving God. And God's a compassionate God. And God understands it. And so I'll just do it this one time. Just one time. We'll just bow. And yeah, we'll just, and then we'll be okay. We'll just do it one time. Because you know, God's grace. Now I'll get up in the morning and yeah, I'll feel guilty in the morning. And yeah, I'll have regret in the morning, but I'll just do it this one time. Anybody? Anybody? Yeah? Yeah. Or maybe, you know, maybe as we think about this and as we wrestle with this, it's kind of like nobody's going to find out. They all got their heads bowed and eyes closed, right? Nobody knows. It's just between me and God. You know, it's nobody else's business but God and mine. You know, and we play these games with God. You know, He's a gracious God. He'll let it slide. It's just one time. You know. Well, wait. What about? You know what? We're the only Christians here. And if I don't bow down and worship this statue, they're going to kill me, and there'll be nobody left to tell them about God. So, you know, I got to do this so I get to live and tell people about God. Yeah. Did anybody ever rationalize sin like that besides me? You know, make excuses? You know, it's just once. Nobody's going to find out. If I don't do it, then I'm not going to have a chance to tell so-and-so about God. You know, if I don't go to that bar and at least have one drink with them, they won't listen to me. Am I crazy or is it, you know, could these guys, you know, they're standing there. They go, King, I don't care. We have relationship wrecks. We have financial frustrations. We have health crises. We have these things in our lives and we're just going to kind of skirt. When our faith is tested, it's just kind of like, it's just once. You know, do I sleep with my boyfriend? Do I move in with my girlfriend? It's just once. You know, do I lie on my tax return? It's only once a year, right? You only do that one time a year, so you can lie, right? It's only once a year. Yeah. Do we ever rationalize? To slip through, to get by. You know, here's these guys, you know, it's like, what do we do? What do we do? And they're going, King, forget you. You know you're going to die. Forget you. That furnace is hot. forget you. Your attitude, I'm going to hit it even harder. Warm it up higher, boys. Forget you. Can you see? I mean, look at it. We don't have to defend ourselves. I don't have to explain anything to you, King. They're going to be crispy critters. You know, think about it. But they stood their ground. What do we do in our lives when we're faced with those trials? Do we believe God or follow men? I just got to fit in. I've got to a little compromise, because if I don't, they won't accept me. I just got to kind of go along to get along. Anybody? You know? And these kids, they wouldn't do it. This is it. We're going to stand our ground. And I want to challenge us. Can we stand our ground? Look at what it says here in Acts. See, Peter and this other apostle got arrested for telling people about God. And they got arrested, and they're on trial, not before the Roman government, before the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of their day. And they couldn't figure out what to do with them. So they decide, you know what? Listen, here's what you got to do. We're going to let you go. Just go on and get out of here. But don't tell anybody about God anymore. You can leave, but just keep your mouth shut about Jesus Christ rising from the dead and living today. Yeah, we crucified him. He's dead. And you can't say he's risen. I know everybody else believes it, and I believe it too, but I'm not going to let anybody else. But you can't talk about Jesus. Here's what they said. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." Well, everybody else is doing it. Anybody? What do we do? How do we stand? How can I trust God in the midst of that? See, that's the challenge. But here's my challenge to you. Will you predetermine today that no matter what the question is tomorrow or later today, that you predetermine today that I'm going to do God and not man? Today. These guys didn't have to whisper to one another. They didn't have to Facebook anybody. They didn't have to FaceTime. They didn't have to do anything. Pinterest, Instagram, they didn't do anything. We are going to do the King no matter what. We're going to worship God, period. Will you worship God, period? That's when your faith is tested. You know, a little compromise. You know, well, God's gracious. God's forgiving. See, you make a choice. And I want to challenge you this morning. Your faith is going to be known. Is it true faith? Is it genuine faith? Or how much does it take to knock it down? And that's the challenge. But it doesn't stop there. They went on, and I put it this way. The next point I looked at is faith believes in spite of what it sees. These boys are standing before the King and saying, I ain't even going to explain myself. What they see over there is a fiery furnace, blazing. King said, you don't bow down, you're going in the furnace. That's what they see. That's all they see. Did they see God? Did God kind of drop in and, hey, I'm here. I got your back. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. See, we don't always see the hand of God. We don't always see where God is at. I want to tell you something. Satan is outside trying to destroy, kill, steal, and destroy your life. Is that true? He wants to take you down. If you're living a life as a Christian, I guarantee you, you will face trials. It's coming. Isn't that encouraging to go to church? Hey, we got to learn a good thing. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to have trials. Pastor's really good, right? Isn't that fun? Yeah. But what you can't see is where God is at in the midst of all of that. We don't always see the hand of God. How many times have you looked back and thought about the hand of God? I can remember one time driving down the freeway over in the Bay Area. And I'm going down the freeway, and it's before I came to this church. And I had Jennifer in the back seat in a car seat. She was the only one we had at the time. And I'm driving down the freeway, and all of a sudden this truck starts tipping over. And I'm beside it. And it's like, it's traffic. You seen that picture? I have nowhere to go. I'm sitting in this car, little bitty Capri, little bitty car, and this truck is tipping over. I don't know why it's tipping over. I have no idea. But here's what I see. I see that truck go right back up. Now, you know what I did? I praised God. Because I don't know what went on. I don't know why that truck was tipping. I don't know what was going on. But I know the hand of God reached down and did something at that moment. Anybody? But all the time, we don't always see it. We don't always see what God is doing, and we need to kind of step back. Do we believe what we cannot see? That God is busy and God is able. Look at the scripture. I like what these guys said. Here again, they're talking to the king. We're not going to tell you why we didn't worship your statue, but let me tell you what this is. If we are thrown into that blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able. Circle that word. God is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. I like that. Yeah. God, Lord, will rescue us from you, majesty. You're not as big as our God. You get the picture? God is able. I want to ask you, do you believe in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your life right now, that God is able to help you through? That God is able to walk with you and to deliver you? I want to ask you the second part. Do you believe he's willing? That God is able, and what these guys believe, God was able and God was willing. That God could step in there and deliver them. That God could step in there and move in their midst. That God had the power, the strength, and the ability to do something great, to do something marvelous, and to make a change in their lives. That God was able and willing. Do we always believe that? That God is able and willing. Yeah. I remember reading a book. Wrestled with a Jewish rabbi, had lost a son at 7 years old. And he's wrestling with God's power. And he's wrestling with God as a merciful and gracious God. And I enjoyed reading the book because it challenged. And he was wrestling with that question. And he came up to this conclusion, which I don't understand. His conclusion was, you know what? There's some things that God can't do anything about. This is a rabbi. That there's some things God is not able to do. I read that and I read his wrestling with it. But as I read God's word, as I see God, there's nothing impossible for God. That all things are possible for God. See, my definition of God means there is one all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God. That's the definition of God. There's one. Because if there can't be more than one, because then he wouldn't be all-powerful. See, all-powerful means there's nobody else like you. God is able and he's willing. He loves us. He cares for us. He created us. He formed us. He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. Every one of us is a gift from God. And he wants the best for us. And sometimes to get to the best for us, we have to go through some trials. Anybody? I am a better person. I am a better pastor today because of what happened to me when I first left seminary in 1981. When I was fired at my first church. I go to the church and they're going to offer me and they're going to pay me. Right? We're going to pay you this much money. I'm not smart enough to ask all sorts of questions. I wasn't raised in church. Okay, yeah, you're going to pay me. Okay, that sounds good. And the Lord's going to get a job and we'll be okay. And then I find out some of their money, that half the money they're going to pay me is coming from someone else that's going to disappear in January. And they hired me in August and didn't tell me. So come January, I lose over a third of my income. And then they were paying me more than they could really afford to pay because there are some other issues. The pastor before me had an affair and half the people left. Isn't it fun? Come on, anybody been in trials? So they cut my salary again. Yeah. I ended up working three jobs. I pastored the church, I worked at a school district, and I worked at the funeral home. And then I get fired. Boy, wasn't that fun? You work 7 years going through college. You feel called by God. You feel God laid your hand upon you and called you to pastor. And you follow God's will, and you go through all this process, go through college and seminary, and you follow all this education. You finally get to where you think God has called you, and you're serving God, and all of a sudden it's gone. Thank you, God. Yeah. Yeah. I was thankful for some pastors in that association that took me to the pastor's retreat, because it was, I resigned just before that, and I went up there, and I sat on the side of a mountain, and I cried. 28-year-old guy on a mountain crying. Oh, man up, Gary. I cry. I was watching another movie the other day. Went and seen Inside Out. Anybody? Laura looks at me and pokes me and says, "You crying yet?" I was. Yeah. But you know what? I'm better today because of that experience. Do I want to go through it again? No. But I'm better today. God brought me here 32 years almost. I've had a great time. I pray you've had a great time. Some of you have been uncomfortable, and that's part of my job. I'm a good aggravator. What do you do when you have those trials? You can't see the hand of God. And yet you have to trust God. Anybody? You don't know where God's at. You know he's there. Anybody? You know he's there. You know God is there. He's able, he's willing, and he's there. But where is he? Anybody? You're in the middle of it, and you're going, "Where are you?" He's there. You know he's there, but is he hiding behind me? Yeah. See, we got to believe, even though we can't see, even though we see nothing, we have to believe. They couldn't see anything, but they still believed. Look at what that went on. Look what it says here in Ephesians. Paul writes, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." God is able to do abundantly more than you could ever dream of and ever ask. And he's willing. Is that true? So now here's the hard part. What do you do when he doesn't do it? What do you do when you pray and you pray and you pray and your finances don't improve? What do you do when you got a sick friend with cancer and you pray and you pray and you seek God and you pray and they still die and they're good Christian people that die? What do you do? These guys stood there, and they go, "We stand before you. We're not even going to tell you why, but we're going to tell you this. Our God is able and willing to deliver us." Now I want to ask you this. Did they know if he would? Look at what it says. Daniel 3:18. But, I circled that. I like to circle words in the scriptures, okay? But, even if he doesn't, do you get it? Our God is able, our God is willing, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. It doesn't matter if God makes this right. It doesn't matter if God heals that person of cancer. It doesn't matter if God brings financial blessings into my life. It doesn't matter if my relationship is restored. It doesn't matter, God, no matter what, I'm with you. I'm going to tell you what. That's hard. That's hard. It's hard to say that, God, no matter what. But even if God doesn't, even if God doesn't, see, God is able, God is willing. But what do we do when he doesn't? I put it this way. Faithful obedience is our responsibility. The outcome is God's. Faithful obedience is our responsibility. The outcome is God's. We just have to be obedient. We just have to follow God. Our job is to follow God. See, now we look at these guys and we know the end of the story. And we're going, sure they could do that. Why not? Because we know where the story goes. They had no idea whether God was going to deliver them or not. They had no idea if they were going to be crispy critters in that furnace. No thought. They did not know what God was going to do. But no matter what, we have predetermined, King, we will worship God and Him alone. Period. I'm yours, God. Sold out, totally committed to you. They're going to worship Him and Him alone. See, what do? We just got to keep going. See, my job is to follow God. All that other stuff is His. I'm going to tell you what, though. That sounds hard, but it truly makes life easier. It really does. Because God, I'm just going to go with you, and whatever happens, it's your problem, not mine. Come on. You know, God, that's your issue, God. You know, I was Googling some stuff and some pastors that I respect. You can't believe what people say about pastors. You guys probably say stuff about me. I got to read Facebook more often, maybe. You know, but I watch, you know, and it's like these guys are. How do you deal with that kind of stuff? I tell you guys all the time, I am not going to get a discussion on Facebook with you guys. Forget it. You can call me a jerk. I'm going to tell you what. Yes, I am. I am a jerk. I can be a jerk. I'm a control freak, and it's my way. Ask Laura. Or I get the highway. Never mind. Yeah? But how do we deal with these? You know, what happens when it's not? What happens when our relationships are messed up? What happens when our finances are screwed up? What happens when our health is not where we want it to be? What happens when life is just, I'm going to say it, hell. What do we do? What do we do? I'm just going to keep going. God, that's yours. I'm going to tell you what, that's hard. But it sure makes life easier. It's like, God, I'm not going to worry about it. You know, I shared that story when I left that church. I knew one thing, that God had a place for me. No doubt in my mind. God called me. There was no doubt that God called me. There was no doubt that God had not prepared me, because I hated school, and all of a sudden you love school. How do you change from that? Hated school. Never read two books through high school. That was it. That's right. Two books. Red Badge of Courage was one of them. That's all I read. But when God called me to the pastor, all of a sudden, you know what? I enjoy reading. I read three or four books. I got like three books going right now. Yeah. God changed me. There's no doubt in my mind that God called me. So I knew He called me. See, remember I told you about that van tipping over on us? I had been down to the Bay Area talking to the director of missions about a church. Because I didn't say, okay, God, drop a church on me. I love you, Jesus. I'll catch it. Anybody? You know, God, I'm going to trust you, God. Now, when I'm talking about God, it's hard to say it, but it's easy to do. It doesn't mean I just sit down and wait. Okay, God, my finances are screwed up. I need $1,000. You know? Like I said, I had three jobs when I was pastoring in Willits. When I first came here, I needed some extra money. I had another job. I worked for Laura's uncle 2 days a week to help my kids go to camps and to do things. And the church helped my kids go to camp. Kids want to go to Washington, D.C., that eighth grade trip. Man, that's an expensive trip. Yeah. God provided. But see, we just don't sit down. See, I take my responsibility is to go. It's His responsibility to take care of the rest. These guys stood before the king, not knowing what was going to happen, not knowing what was going to go on. And so what happened? Anybody knows what happened, right? The king says, tie them up, wrap them up nice and tight, throw them in the furnace. Matter of fact, heat it 7 times hotter. Now, if you're familiar with the story, I think it's really neat. These guys pick him up. I pick these three guys up. They go over to throw him in the furnace. Guess who gets to be crispy critters? Not the three guys. Not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The guys that were throwing him in. Give you a little hint. Let God fight your fight. He'll burn those others up. I'm serious. Don't mess with Facebook anymore. You hear me? I got to defend myself. Get off that stupid stuff. God will burn them up. I'm not going to say God's going to make them crispy critters, but here's my belief. You know what? If I don't have to get in the mud, guess who's muddy? Ain't me. And everybody, you know what? I read Facebook, and I know who's causing the trouble. Am I right? Yeah. If you don't fight, let God fight your fights. You know, it's like these guys burn up. They were fried. Not only that, I think it's important they threw them into the furnace. Though they didn't see it. Now, make sure you know this. They didn't see it. But how many people were in the furnace? Anybody? Four. How many did they throw in? Three. Ooh. You know, the fourth one is probably who? Jesus. Jesus takes care of us, doesn't he? Yeah. Jesus is there. He's going to walk with us. He doesn't leave us in the furnace by ourselves. You get it? I think it's also important to notice something else. They tied him up and threw him in the furnace. What happened to the ropes? They were burnt. Here's these guys tied up, bundled up, threw in the furnace, and now all of a sudden there's four, think about it, three boys thrown in, four men walking around. Ooh. See, God burns that stuff off that binds you up. Get the picture? Isn't this a good story? But not just a story, an event that really happened. You know those things that are tearing you up, those things that are binding you up, those things that just seem to imprison you? God can burn off, maybe through a trial. Whoa. Did you get that? That some of the things God wants to burn off in your life, some of the things God wants to get rid of in your life is going to take a trial to get rid of. I don't like that. I don't know about you, but I don't like that. But it's true. It's true. God used that fire to set them free. I want to tell you, sometimes God wants you to use a trial to set you free. He wants you to use situation and hurts and frustrations and struggles and pains to set you free. Is that true? That sometimes you got to go through those things. Because when you get on that other side, you are a different person. You have changed. And that faith that you trusted in has been tested and can be trusted. What do you think? What do you guys think? I want to challenge you this morning. What kind of faith do you have? Do you have a faith that's been tested? If you look at the bottom, here's another scripture here. Let's read a couple of scriptures here. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said of the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Walking around, unbound, set free. Through a trial, they've changed their lives. It's different. God moved. And then I put it this way in Romans. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." They work together for good. I'm going to tell you, bad things are bad. I always get frustrated when I hear a preacher talk about this verse and say, "God uses all things for good," and then talk about that stuff being good. I'm going to tell you, trials are not good. Anybody? Hurts are not good. Struggles are not good. They're not good. But God can use those struggles, those battles, for good. He used that fire to set those boys free. It burned those ropes off. They walked through that fire. They weren't burnt. They didn't even smell like smoke. They were set free. I want to challenge you this morning. What trial is setting you free? What struggle in your life right now has bound you up and tied you up that you need God to burn off, that needs to burn off, that you can walk around free? Relationships, finances, health, job, school, I don't know. What is it that's kind of bound you up and just eaten away in that stress and that struggle and that heartache, and it's just on you that God wants to burn up because it's binding you? He wants to set you free. Can you trust your faith? Bottom of your page, I put it real simple. Oh, did I have another verse? I did have another verse, didn't I? Let's read my last verse then. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own." Even the king acknowledged it. Others will see Jesus in it. And I put it this way at the bottom of your page. When your faith is tested, that is faith you can be trusted. I'm going to ask you, do you trust your faith today? Do you trust your faith? I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what battles you're facing. I don't know what struggles. But I know if you're like me, they're real. You can be sold out for God, or you can be running from God. They're real. And they hurt. But God is able, and God is willing. You might not see it, but God is there. Others may need to point it out to you. That's for me why church is important, because, hey, I can see God's hand in somebody else's life and point it out. God is able. Do you need to be set free today? Do you need God to burn off those things that bind you up? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. Lord, we read these stories and they sound like they're make-believe. We usually put them flannel graphs and just slap things on a board. But Lord, these are true events that happened in the lives of these young men. They stood for you and trusted you, and you delivered. You know, as I'm praying and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and maybe there's something that you're battling and it's bound you up. It's got you all messed up. And you want me to pray for you. Would you just shoot your hand up? Just shoot your hand. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. I see those hands. Lord, there's some here this morning who are willing to say it hurts. Who are in the midst of the battle right now, Lord. They're standing in the furnace and it's hot. Lord, you know the battle. You know the hurt. You know the struggle. You know the circumstances. You know the situations. You know the hearts of each of these, Lord, and they're standing in that battle. Lord, as Nebuchadnezzar could see you, I pray that they see your hand in the midst of their life right now. And that you use this trial, you use this situation, you use this struggle to burn off what is binding them up. That the faith that they have in you will be a trusted faith. In spite of what they see, in spite of what they feel, in spite of what they hear, in spite of what they experience, that they trust you. Or that they can say, just as these young men, but even if he doesn't, we worship God and him alone. Encourage hearts to fight the good fight. Cause things that are bad to go together for good in their lives. And bless them from above. In Jesus' name, amen.